Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to church this morning. We're glad that you're here on this Palm Sunday. And in our call to worship, we're in Luke chapter 19 today. And I'm going to read just a few verses of that scene that took place there in Jerusalem as our Lord entered into Jerusalem. The Bible says, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. You know, we many times hear of the weeping of our Lord. There's three different occasions that we're told about in the Word of God. And there were many, many more, I'm sure. But what led to his weeping over Jerusalem? The leadership came to him as he comes into the city and the crowd begins to say their words, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then they use an expression that even the angels used at the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Almost the same identical Greek used that pronounces the angelic message there in the shepherd's field. But when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. There was much to weep over. Even though these people announced, you know, glory to God, he's come in the name of the Lord, our Messiah is here, not Messiah spiritually, but Messiah politically has come. And the masters, the leaders of the city, come up to him immediately. "Are you going to tell your disciples to be quiet? How dare they say these things? Are you going to rebuke them?" You see immediately the spirit and attitude of the leadership of Jerusalem. They hate him. For the last several weeks, we learned about in our men's Sunday school today that they were after the Lord to kill him, to destroy him. They had set out on that purpose to kill him, to remove him. And they said, "Aren't you going to tell your disciples to be quiet?" And he said, "If they didn't say it, the stones would cry out and say it." Understand something. We live in very similar times where it costs something to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, to say that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, to say that He's coming back again, gets all kinds of awkward looks as people process that. They have no interest. It's a struggle. It's a conflict that we are in. But we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful until He comes. We're to have that message. And despite the fact that there are many that are just like those in Jerusalem that day that despised His coming, there were many that believed Him. They believed Him because they had seen what had happened with Lazarus. He had been raised from the dead. He was standing among them. They knew He was dead. And now He's standing among them. There must be something to this Jesus. But they were not willing to go far enough. There may be some here today on this Palm Sunday. Say, "I know about Jesus. I've heard a lot about Jesus." But in your heart, you're just not willing to go all the way to accept Him as the Savior of sinners and the King of all things. I pray that today will be the day that you turn to Him.
We welcome you out to our Sunday morning worship service. Please take your hymnals and stand with me. Turn to 134. We'll sing Blessed Calvary, song 134.
Thank you.
started singing. Please remain standing for prayer.
Let's pray.
Father, we praise you. We love you, God. We think of the resurrection, the blood of Christ that was spilt to cover our dirty sin, to compensate for our sin nature, our fleshliness. And what an awesome thing that is, just the thought of the pure blood of Christ covering our dirty sin. Because of that, Lord, we'll spend eternity with you. We can never, ever get over that. What an awesome truth. Father, we fall way short. We're sinners even after we're born again. God, we still have the old nature that we grapple with, and we pray for victory there in our day-to-day lives. We do thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We thank you for this great church. Pray you continue to bless it and have your hand on it. Bless Pastor and all the ministries here, God, and we just thank you for him. Be with the school here and all the ministries. Just pray you bless, have your hand on it. Father, we many, many prayer requests, and I'll just hit a few here. Of course, all of our missionaries on the field, Lord, and especially in Ukraine right now under severe persecution. Just pray you be with them. Bless that situation. May you be glorified during this terrific time of trial, and that souls be saved and your kingdom furthered. Pray for Afghanistan and other missionaries around the world, Lord, and pray bless that. Pray for our home church here for the illnesses and all the other needs that we have here. God, just pray you continue to bless and have your hand on that situation. God, we love you. We just pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.
As you're being seated, if you turn to 117 in your hymnal, we'll sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, song number 117. Think about these awesome words as you sing it to our wonderful Lord.
Thank you.
113. We'll sing Rock of Ages as the first and the second verses of 113.
The cross of Jesus. Thank you, Roger and Nicole. Take your Bibles, please, this morning, and let's turn together to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and the title of my message may seem a little strange to you. If you grew up in the South or in the Midwest, you'll know exactly what this expression is about. We're down to the short rows. That's an expression that came about in the early days of farming, whenever they would plow diagonally. Remember, fields back in the old days were not necessarily all rectangular or square. Many of them followed the contour of the land, wherever the tree lines were, and oftentimes they would start in the center and then work their way down to what they called the short rows. And when they got down to the short rows, they were getting down to the end. That was the point. And up in J, you'll often see the little short rows are perpendicular to the rest of the field. They'll put them a little bit barrier along the edge of the end of the rows there. They'll plant cotton or soybeans or things, and they call those the short rows. And we're going to be dealing with this subject today because with the presentation of Jesus Christ at Jerusalem on what we know now as Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, was a call to make a decision. A call to make a decision. We're in the short rows now. We're almost done. That's the picture that's given to us here. We're going to find out that the people of Israel, people of Jerusalem that had gathered for Passover in that large city, swelling now to hundreds of thousands of people that have come in for Passover, they're going to choose to crucify Jesus Christ. That's their decision. And not in the far distant future is going to come judgment. Because around 70 AD, we're going to see destruction come to the city. And it's going to be a horrible, horrible day. And for nearly 1,000 years, even more than that, Israel is going to be without a country. They're going to be shifted and pushed from one location to another. They're going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth. And it would not be until 1948 that Israel becomes a nation again. Why did all that happen? Why the horrible things that have happened to the nation of Israel? Why the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were slaughtered? Because they made a decision. You see, young people that are here today, you may not think that your decision now means anything. But I'm telling you, a decision made now has consequences in the future. You choose to go against the authority of your parents. You may think it's no big deal, but it's a huge deal with God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is literally righteousness. Let that soak in for just a moment. This is righteousness. To disobey your parents is to commit unrighteousness. The children of Israel rebelled against the one that God sent to the nation, the Savior that would come. And what was foretold in John chapter 1 was certainly true. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They made a choice. They made a decision. And so now as our Lord rides in upon a white colt, He comes into the city. Oh, there's great rejoicing. Hosanna! The Son of David has come. But they have no idea what they're really saying. Because in just a handful of days, they're going to be the same people crying, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" How can someone on a Sunday say, "Hosanna! The highest!" And then, toward the end of the week over here, "Crucify Him!" The same people. How is that? They made a decision. They made a choice. I'm going to emphasize this morning because I think it's important. There are some that may be here in this audience, someone listening by way of the radio or the internet, that's at a crossroads. And I'm going to bring some parallels from this passage that I hope will help us today to understand how serious things are, because I want to tell you something. In the time in which we live, we're in the short roads. We're almost at the end. You might think you've got all kinds of time, but I'm here to tell you, you don't know. The psalmist expressed time in Psalm 91 in verses 4 through 9 in several different ways, 6 ways specifically. He says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight," and then he makes a comparison of 6 things. It's like yesterday. 1,000 years with God is like yesterday. Now some of you may have thought that yesterday went by kind of slow. Yesterday for me went by kind of fast. A lot of stuff that I got done yesterday, and I was involved with 2 or 3 different things going on, and before long the sun setting in the sky. It went by fast. I found that as I've gotten older, it seems to go faster. Do you realize that we started registration for baseball on January the 19th? Okay, how many months ago was that? We've already completed 2 full weeks of the season now. You talk about going by fast. Now for some of you, it may go by really slow. Maybe you live a sedentary lifestyle. Yeah, you just don't do a whole lot and things just kind of go slow. But for some of us, it goes by pretty fast. A 1,000 years with God is like yesterday. He not only does that, he says it's like a watch in the night. You know, the Jews had the evening broken up by watches. And before, when you went on duty for the watch, before long the other guy was showing up to take your place. Goes by quickly. Bible compares it to a flood. A flood comes and a flood goes. It goes by quickly. I noticed whenever I was in Haiti in 2010 that there's often flooding. High tides flood Haiti. Along the western shore, they have real problems with whenever a high tide comes in, it will come in 2 miles inland. So what they do is they have plastic laid out for miles. And as the water goes out, water remains on the plastic. And when it dries out, guess what's left behind? Salt. And they harvest the salt. And so they turn it into something that they need, harvesting sea salt. But it was amazing to me that the road that we just traveled on when we were coming back, high tide was in and everything everywhere was water. We had to wait a couple of hours, and before long you'd see the tide start receding and the water went out, and we were able to cross over the road that was just underwater and make our way back to the village where we needed to go. Like a flood. It says there in Psalm 91, it's like sleep. All right? Now hopefully, this hour or 45 minutes that we have together will not be a time of sleep for you. You wake up, oh, the pastor's done. Hey, great! Let's go eat. All right, that's how some people look at church, sadly. But you know, when you take a nap and you wake up, you know, when you take a nap, you look at the clock and you see what time it is and you close your eyes and you drift up and then you wake up again and the hands of the clock have moved. Wow, well, look at the time. I got to get moving. It's almost time for this. We were supposed to meet someone. Let's go. Sleep is like that. You lose track of time. In that passage, it's like the growing grass. Now, I don't know what that feeling is like because my front yard doesn't have a lot of grass in it. But campus here does. It's an amazing thing at how much grass can grow in a week. And then you mow it down and then it starts working its way back up again. Now, there's nothing fun about watching grass grow. It's a slow process. But it's amazing after a couple of days where it was really short, now it's gotten up there, especially during the growing season, how quickly time goes by. And then finally, it's like a sigh. That's time. It's like a sigh. Philip was just here 3 weeks ago. He had left some tools behind that we had found, gathered them up, and he came by to pick them up. We had no idea 3 weeks ago that Philip would slip off into eternity. He's a believer in Christ. He's with the Lord now. But you just don't know. He drove up. He picked up his tools, talked for a little bit, and then he went back to his house. And little did we know that in less than a month, he would be gone. That's time, folks. And we're going to talk about that in regard to what's happening here. Matthew 21. I want to read the first 11 verses very quickly, and I want to get into this passage of Scripture here and focus on a couple of things here that often get forgotten in the message on Palm Sunday. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them with me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come in Jerusalem, all the city was moved. That word there, better translated, shaken. That's the word for shaken to the core. All right? Saying, now get this, who is this? Who is this? And notice the response. And the multitude, the majority that were there said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, is that true? Yeah, it's true. He was Jesus. It is true that he was a prophet, foretold in the Old Testament. It's true that he is from Nazareth of Galilee. But it doesn't go far enough, does it? It doesn't go far enough. Everything that you see there speaks of someone who was born and raised in the nation, right? A human. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one sent from heaven to be the Savior of sinners. He is the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. Oh, they didn't say that. They just said what we would normally say, oh, this is Jesus from Nazareth. He's a prophet. But they were not willing to recognize that he was the one sent from heaven. It didn't go far enough. I want us to think this morning about this question, who is this? Who is this? I think some of us probably ask that question by the way we live. We get up in the morning. We do all of our morning chores. We get ready for work. Go off to work. We work our day. We come back home. Get us a bite to eat. Maybe do a few things. And then we go home and turn on the TV and we watch the news or whatever. And then we get ready for bed and we're going to start it all over again. That pretty much describes what we do. But I wonder how much of that 24-hour cycle that we do is dominated by Jesus Christ. Dominated by Him. Our conversation. Our attitude during the day. Our interaction with other people. That Jesus Christ. And almost we live like, who is He? You understand where I'm getting at? Who is He? Oh, he's just one of the other folks that he's a good preacher. You can translate prophet there, preacher. He's a good preacher. You know, I've had people that after we had a visiting preacher, and I love having visiting preachers come in and so forth like that, but some people start comparing. Oh, he's so much better than so-and-so that came to preach before. Why can't you preach like him, Pastor? Okay? Now, God didn't call us to preach like other people. All right? It's easy to mimic other people. Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a young man that was involved in a preaching ministry with him, and he would mimic everything that Dr. Bob Sr. would do from the pulpit. All right? He'd get up there and he'd put his hand, cup his hand like Dr. Bob Sr. All right! And found out that the reason that he did that was so Dr. Bob Sr.'s dentures wouldn't come out whenever he was hollering. But he was copying. Exactly. You can hear different individuals sometimes when they preach, and you know what college they went to or who they were around a lot by the way they preach. They sound like a certain person. All right. Now, we like to mimic, do we not? We're like mockingbirds. Mockingbirds mimic what other birds are doing. But God didn't call us to do that. God called us to be ourselves and to be dominated by the person of Jesus Christ. Who is He? What's your answer to that this morning? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and tell me, but I want you to ask that question this morning. Who is He? Some of you better come up with a better answer than what you got right now. Because for some people, Jesus is just a nice teacher from the Bible, and there are certain facts we know about Him, But He doesn't dominate your life. He's not in charge. He's not the authority. You are. And that's a problem. Let's think for just a moment. The triumphal entry is repeated in all four Gospels. Why? You ever asked that question? Why? Well, I guess the Lord wanted it recorded four times. The Lord wanted us to see it in four different facets because it was important. There was a message that was being conveyed to the nation. You need to have that. It indicates the critical importance. One impression overwhelms me as I read the four gospel accounts, and it's this, that Jesus was in complete control of everything that happened on Palm Sunday. Every detail. You'll find a colt of an ass tied up at this particular. Go to that individual, and if they say, what do you need it for? Tell them that the master needs it, and they'll let you do it. Every detail. It was a colt, by the way, that had never been ridden before. Anybody have experience with riding animals for the very first time? Yeah. What do they normally do, Brother Patrick? They try to buck you off. All right? I've been bucked off before. I got bucked off of a large, was it a donkey or a mule? It was a mule. I always get it wrong. Dad corrects me, so that's why I asked him. It was a mule. I got knocked off of it. My sister got knocked off of a little Shetland pony. He would just kicked her right off. Boom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those were ones that were already trained. Jesus got on one and rode him right into Jerusalem and never bucked him off once. Who is in charge? People that are in charge have what? Authority. Oh, now we're getting down to the heart, meat, and soul of what we talk about. We're in the short rows now. Time's running out. I'm here to tell you this morning, time is running out. Are you going to continue to run your life the way you want to? Do your thing, make your decisions, go here, go there. But the Bible warns you about something. Time is short. You better get yourself under the authority of Jesus Christ. And I mean now.
Well, this should be a nice message, Pastor Todd. This is Palm Sunday. Okay? This should be a sweet message.
I want it to be a message that helps, that stirs up some hearts. Because Jesus was making a statement. And when He rode in, He didn't work His way up to the palace and go stand on the steps for pictures. You know what He did? He went to the temple and He took a whip and He drove out the money changers. He said, this should be a house of prayer. So it wasn't a sweet deal for Him, was it? And it wasn't a sweet deal for all the money changers and all the sellers of animals that day because they felt the sting of the whip. Yeah. The sweet Jesus. He was sending a message. Jesus was in complete control because Jesus is in authority. I'm the King. I'm the King. That's what He's saying. Do they treat Him like a king? No. They crucify Him. That's what we do with you. Unlike other events in His life, He's not reacting to anyone or anything else. No one expects Him to do what He does on that day. No one expected Him to go to the temple and drive out the money. They didn't expect Him to do that. What did they expect Him to do? They wanted Him to go to the palace, declare Himself king, get rid of the Romans with all His power. They saw that He raised Lazarus from the dead just a few days before. What power was manifested there? Well, He'll come in and He'll run the Romans off. Everything will be good then. It's not why He came. The time for decision had come. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 19, verse 41. The verse is up on the screen. But I want you to see our Lord as He looks upon the people. thousands are there in Jerusalem for the Passover. The crowd numbers have risen into the hundreds of thousands that have come in from all around Israel for the Passover. And he presents himself to the nation there. And you know what he does when he looks upon the city and he sees these thousands of people? Look at verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying what? If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even upon the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not, now get this, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They didn't know what time it was. They didn't realize they were in the short rows. We're almost done. They didn't realize what time it was. And so they lost. It's like a basketball team. As the seconds are ticking off, we just had March Madness. And why I enjoy watching basketball games, college basketball games, and so forth like that. And I especially like watching the last minute. You know how many games are won in the last minute of a basketball game? Especially if it's really close. One shot. We saw a couple of those games during March Madness. The seconds are down. 4.2 seconds. The ball is thrown in. A man catches the ball, dribbles once, comes up to the three-point line, fires it off. You see the seconds over the scoreboard clicking off, and the ball goes in, and the game is over. There's the happiness on one side, and what's going on the other side? You know, one young man, they showed him, the coach from the other team, they're going through and they're high-fiving and so forth like that. And this kid is just crying his eyes out. They're done. No more games. He's finished with college basketball now. Maybe he'll go on to play professionally. Who knows? But he was bawling his eyes out. And the coach of the other team came up and put his arm around him and then pulled him in and just started talking to him. All right? It's just one game, son. They asked him, what did you tell him? It's just one game, son. It's not the end. There's more to come. There are a lot of people that think, oh, I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to worry about. I got plenty of time. No, you don't. They missed the time of his visitation and they crucified the Messiah. That was their answer. Who is this? Someone to be rejected. I think about this aspect of Luke 19:42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You realize this event was predicted in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 26. It was predicted then, and it came true. Prophecy was fulfilled in several different ways. From the colt that he rode on, to the event of the Passover and the coming of the Messiah, all predicted, fulfilled. This event was the official presentation of Jesus to the nation as the rightful Son of David, predicted in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 16 through 19. It came true. All of the ages are converging on this one day of the week, Palm Sunday. And Israel missed it. Missed it. Everything came together. I'm telling you something, folks. Dates are important. we look at through history and we see all these certain things that happened on certain days and how things came together and so forth like that. The official announcement in 1948 of Israel, Israel overcoming five Arab nations after World War II. It's stunning. I just watched a documentary on it. It's unbelievable. We had Jewish men from the United States that had flown airplanes in World War II that went over to Israel and flew the same planes and defeated the Egyptian armies, the Jordanian armies, all the different groups, five nations, Arab nations that came up against. They had way more people than Israel had. They were outgunned, they were outmanned, and yet Israel defeated five nations and kept the land and became a nation. Dates are important. I'm going to tell you about one day that's very important. That's the day you let go of your life of sin and you grab a hold of Jesus Christ. That date is important. Now, you may not remember the exact day, the hour. That's not what I'm saying. There must be a point in time where you get it right. Do I hear an amen? Don't you want to get it right? You're going to live somewhere forever. Israel, all the ages are converging on the crucifixion of Christ. All the scriptures have passed. We're looking forward to this event. And Israel missed it. They missed it. I want to move quickly here because we're almost done. We won't take time to look at Luke 23 because it gives a follow-up, because it describes the people of Jerusalem weeping, crying for the rocks to fall down upon them. Said, don't weep for me right now. You weep about what's going to happen to you because you've rejected me. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. That was their response. Who is this? Wasn't enough. Three abiding lessons and we're done. Number one, spiritual opportunities have a what date? Expiration date. You go look in your refrigerator when you get home. Go through all your salad dressings. You know the ones you've had for a really long time? Do you know the expiration date? Uh-uh. I don't. How many of you have gone in and pulled, oh, that looks really good, pull that out. And then you open the lid, and all of a sudden, green stuff going, ugh. You just lost your appetite. Lid back on, garbage can. Why? Past the expiration date. Some things expire. I want you to know that spiritual opportunities have an expiration date. Just because you're in a Christian school does not mean that everything's all right. Just because you go to a good Bible preaching church does not mean everything's all right for you. Just because you're married to someone that's a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to ride their coattails to heaven. Spiritual opportunities have an expiration date. And you don't know when it is. That's the thing about it. They can print it on a salad dressing bottle or a cheese bottle. Maybe you like the cheese dip or whatever. They have all kinds of wonderful bacteria that grow on top of them when they go past their expiration date. They can print it on that, but there's nothing printed on your life that says when the expiration date's over with. Number two, the world that rejected Jesus that day, and I sadly say that still rejects Him today. Why? Who is this? Oh, it's just Jesus. It's just the prophet guy from Nazareth of Galilee. That's all He is. No, He's the Savior of sinners, the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God that paid your sin debt on Calvary's tree. That's who that is. You better know. You better know Him today. Number three, the invitation is simple. And what is that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I use His full name on purpose. Do you realize that the title, Lord is never used of Jesus prior to his resurrection. But John is the first to record that after his resurrection, they called him Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's resurrected from the dead. He's not dead. He's alive physically. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and for me. And the cry has gone down through history. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you've got to believe Him. Isn't it amazing how many things we believe in this world and we find out that we're wrong, that we were believing that? Was it Ronald Reagan that says, never believe when a government agent comes up and says, hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Yeah. Should I believe him? Yeah. We shouldn't be believing that. But there are a lot of people that do. A lot of people that are dependent upon human beings, their friends, all their family. We're dependent on them to help us through. You need to depend upon the only one that's the truest friend. And that's Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Palm Sunday was the presentation of the King to Israel. And Israel missed it. They rejected Him. They hung Him on a cross. They crucified Him. They wanted nothing to do with Him. 3 days later, He rose from the tomb. We're going to focus on that, Lord willing, next week if the Lord tarries. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the same Jesus who died on that cross and shed His blood, that same Jesus that 3 days later rose again from the tomb, is the Jesus that's speaking to you right now and saying unto you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't you need to stop fooling around with your soul? Don't you need to come and forever get it settled? Some of you perhaps are trusting in some decision that you made when you were very small, but your life doesn't show deliverance from sin. The battles you fight every day, trying to conform to something that you don't possess internally. Won't you get it settled? Jesus offered Himself to the nation, and the nation rejected. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Don't let this be a date in history that when you look back in eternity future, you remember, and I believe we'll have our memory, whether you're in heaven or whether you're in hell, you will remember the opportunities. I'm here to tell you today, we're in the short rows. Time is short. We're almost to the end. Have you taken care of business with God? Father in heaven, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do a work in hearts today. Maybe there's some boys and girls here today. Maybe there's some young adults or maybe older adults that have been playing games with their soul. They're just not ready to die. I pray they might realize how short time is and that they would cry out to Thee this morning and get this matter settled, so they can know for sure that they're going to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ on His merits alone and spend all eternity with Him. Father, I pray that You would do a work today in hearts and lives to draw precious souls unto Yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please take your hymnals and stand with me. Turn to 220. We'll sing No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, the first verse of 220. gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the message that we just heard from your word. We thank you that you are the very Son of God, that you're the fulfillment of all Old Testament messianic prophecies, that you're the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. We thank you that you're our precious Lord and our Savior, that you died on the cross for our sins. We pray that as we walk away from church this afternoon, our mind would not walk away from the truth that we just heard in your word, that we would meditate on, Lord, your Passion Week and why you came, especially throughout this week, every day, Lord, but throughout this week especially. And I do pray that if there's anybody, perhaps online, perhaps in this building today, who has never placed their faith in you for salvation, we pray that you would not give them peace, that you would call them to yourself, and that they would leave the gospel before it's eternally too late. We love you. We pray that you'd receive honor and glory in all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.